I want to go ahead and just concentrate this morning in a very familiar passage. Our pastor already read Luke's version of the triumphal entry in chapter 19 at the beginning of the service. And we're going to be concentrating from Matthew's perspective in chapter number 21. We're going to be concentrating from chapter 21 of the Gospel of Matthew. Just want to read it real quick. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Just want to speak to you the next several minutes on the subject, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that through these airwaves, Lord, through Facebook Live, Lord, and all who will be tuning in, Lord, and all who will see this afterwards, we pray that your word go forth and accomplish its purpose, touch every life, edify, build, Lord, bring hope, bring peace, bring your power, heal the sick, Lord, deliver the oppressed, bring comfort to those who are sad or in mourning, Lord. Have your way for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's very interesting in looking at these passages that we have read today, what Jesus instructed his disciples to do when he was getting ready to enter into the city of Jerusalem on what we now know as Palm Sunday. It's just interesting to note that he gave them a command on how to manage something that was not rightfully his. Because he sent them into the village and he told them by word of knowledge, "Go into the village, you will find a donkey and a colt right next to her. She is going to be tied, and that colt has never been ridden before. Loose them, and if anyone would ask you, 'Why are you doing this?' you're going to give them a specific response, because the Lord has need of them." And so, neither the donkey or the colt literally belonged to Jesus or to the disciples. It was someone else's property. But it's just interesting to see how Jesus is exercising lordship, because he commanded them to loose them. And if anyone would ask them, even the owners of these animals, if they would ask the disciples, "Why are you doing this?" the response was, "The Lord has need of them." Now that's in our translation, but in the Lord's language, what the people would have understood is Jehovah has need of them. And so it's a confirmation not only that Jesus was the Son of God, but that he is also Lord of all, and that he had the right, as being the Lord of all creation, to have a command given to these disciples that they would loose these animals because Jesus needed to fulfill a purpose with these animals. We must remember that Psalms 100 says the following: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And so there's a basic spiritual principle that we just see in this minute detail, that God essentially is the owner of everything. And so since he is the owner of everything, he has the right to ask us to take what we have and place it in his hands. And the reason he's going to ask us to take what we have and place it in his hands is because he has to fulfill a purpose with what we give him. And by the way, everything we give him, he gave it to us in the first place, because everything belongs to him. And so Jesus needed the donkey and the colt in order to fulfill a prophetic word that was given by the prophet Zechariah hundreds of years earlier. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Matthew cites this in verse 4 through 5. Zechariah the prophet, at least 500 years before Jesus was even born, he gave this prophetic utterance. He says, "Tell the people of Zion," Zion implying the nation of Israel, "your king is coming to you. He's gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, a young pack animal." And so there was already a prophetic word given about what was going to happen on Palm Sunday. Jesus was going to enter into Jerusalem, not riding on a horse, but riding on what would be considered to be the most ridiculous or the most minute of animals. The donkey was not seen as something great. It was not seen as a animal for kings or for hierarchy. But you see, there was a tradition among the Jews that if they were living righteously, the Messiah would come from heaven. But if they were living in sin, the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. And so Jesus riding on these animals was letting them know what condition they were in. Jesus used these animals because there was a purpose behind it. He was not doing it just nonchalantly. No. He was doing it because there was a prophetic word that needed to be fulfilled. And so as we read this book of the blessed life, we need to understand that our giving to God has a purpose behind it. God has given us a prophetic word. He has outlined in the scriptures promises, promise beyond promise beyond promise, where he says, for example, in Malachi 3:10, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you and I that we do not have even room to receive. But in order for that prophetic promise to be fulfilled, you've got to release what's in your hand. And so every time we give Jesus what he asks of us, it's because he wants to fulfill a promise and a prophetic word in our lives. The Bible will be fulfilled in our lives, but we must cooperate with it by exercising obedience. And the greatest obedience we can show God is taking who we are and what we have and placing it in his hands. Hallelujah. You can lift your hands right where you are and give God a shout of praise. So the promises of God are available to you and I. God is no respecter of persons, but they are contingent upon us giving what we have. The Lord has need of it, and if you release it, he will bless it. He will use it for his glory. I also believe that there is a fulfillment of a prophetic word in this story, not just by the prophet Zechariah, but there's a message for us as the church. There's a message for you. There's a message for the world in the midst of this awful crisis of the coronavirus. The donkey was tied. She was tied, and the colt had never been ridden. So the donkey needed to be loosed. She needed to be delivered, and the colt needed to learn submission. Somebody say it right there where you are. The donkey needed to be loosed, and the colt needed to learn submission. And so there's a symbolism here that we can see. The donkey can represent the nation of Israel, and the colt can represent the church. And understand they were together because it has always been God's purpose for the church and Israel to be one body, one entity. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 that Jesus tore down the wall of partition that separated them, and out of two people he made one. And so it's always been God's purpose for there to be a unity between Israel and his church. He sees us as one body. But it was Israel's job to be a light unto the nations. It was Israel's assignment to show the Gentiles on how to serve and love the Almighty God. But by the time that Jesus came, by the time the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Israel found itself tied in traditions and legalism. And so because they were tied to traditions and legalism, they could no longer shine the light of God's word to the nations. And so the Gentiles always had a materialistic mentality. And I believe that this coronavirus has hit a very sensitive area in the world and even here in America, and it's teaching us to not be so materialistic. It's teaching us to not focus so much on the material, because if we see what's going on, sometimes we have the money to purchase and there's nothing that we can purchase. And so in other senses, we are also being taught how to be frugal and responsible and being good stewards of what God has given us. And so look at what Jesus himself makes note of concerning the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Is that not something that is on the minds of many people right now? What shall we drink? Or what shall we be clothed with? For the nations, or the Gentiles, seek after all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you, Israel, have need of all these things, but if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And so it was Israel's responsibility to teach the nations that if you put God first, all your needs will be supplied according to his riches and glory. Israel had become greedy, selfish, racist, and so it was their job to teach the other nations on how to serve and love God. And so the Gentile nations needed to learn submission, but Israel needed to be loosed. And that's why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to loose his people and to teach the whole world how to submit unto his creator. When we put God first and we put his purpose first, then all the things that we need shall be supplied. And my family and I, my wife and I, we have seen these days God's provision. We all know that toilet paper is hard to come by. But it just so happens I got a call the other day from a friend who works for a food company. And he says, God bless you, how's everything going? And I said, well, we're marching forward in Jesus' name in the midst of everything. He said, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that your family needs? And I said, well, we could use this, this, and that. He says, well, just let me go ahead and access it, and I'll bring it to you. You see, when you put God first, when you put the kingdom first, when you give what you have, even in the midst of crisis, it will be returned to you, because if you place God first in your life, everything you have need of shall be added unto you. You don't have to seek it. It will come to you. Too many people are seeking the material, and they have forgotten God. And that's why this is an opportunity that God is using to teach us to turn our head to the heavens, to remember that we have a creator, that we are not in control. He's in control. Just look at what's happening. A microscopic organism has brought the world to its knees. God has used an invisible enemy to make us unite with him, unite with one another, and to return to our basic priorities, which is not entertainment. It's not the pleasures of life. It's loving God and loving your neighbor, because that's the totality of us as human beings. Hallelujah. And so Israel needed to be loosed, and the Gentiles need to learn submission. There's another message in here that I want to bring, and it's that the donkey can symbolize the older generation, and the colt can symbolize a younger generation. The donkey can symbolize those who are seasoned in the faith, and the colt can symbolize those who are younger in the faith. Also, it can also symbolize those who have been blessed with more years of life and experience, and the colt can symbolize those who are just starting out or still in development mode. You see, the older generation can teach the younger generation the importance of being generous. David the psalmist put it this way in Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so David testifies to the younger generation, letting us know that in his experience, every time that he was in need, God supplied those needs. It's important to be good stewards of what we have. We must be responsible. We should not pay out more than we take in. And if we do take in more than we pay out, of course, we should be responsible and save for a rainy day In moments like these, we see the importance of savings. In moments like these, we see the importance of being responsible with our finances. But we also must remember that no matter what the circumstance, God always deserves the glory, the honor. And we honor him not only with our praise and with giving our lives spiritually for the cause of salvation, we honor him also by giving him everything we are and everything we have. I want to just testify real quick. I learned from an older generation because my father taught me how to give to God. I remember one time we were going through a crisis. I want to say about maybe 26, 27 years ago, we were going through a crisis financially at our house. I remember we went to a evangelistic event, a crusade, and my father had $25 in his pocket. Now I know because I looked inside his wallet. And when the preacher was in the midst of lifting up the offering, my father took the last two bills, the $20 bill and $5 bill he had in his wallet. He took it out, and I saw him put it in one of the envelopes and give it to the ministry. As a young man, I was thinking to myself, well, there goes whatever we had for food. And so, but I trusted that my father knew what he was doing because I had seen him give before and God supernaturally provide for the household. Now, we were lacking groceries. When we got to our home that afternoon, after this crusade, God had touched a non-believer to bring us all the groceries that we needed. And so I learned from a young age, because the older generation shone the light on the path for me, that if I trust God enough and give him all that I have, he will supply my needs according to his riches and glory. You may be seeing your finances right now and you say, well, I don't have enough, or I need to be responsible, frugal. Of course you need to be responsible and frugal. But I'm telling you, the Lord has need of what you have, because the gospel must continue to be preached. The gospel has got to continue to be preached. Churches and ministries have got to continue with their daily responsibilities. And above all things, it is in generosity where we can understand God's heart as it relates to giving. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so God's love is shown in giving. And your love and my love is also shown when we give. Not just the lip service, but when we give, we are confirming visibly the love that we feel on our inside. And so sometimes in times like these, the elderly might think, well, I don't earn what I used to, or I'm on a fixed income, etc. But I want to say that the donkey needs to be loosed from fear. Needs to be loosed from fear, because God's promises are not just for the young who are building up their 401k or their pension plan or have a good salary. God's promises is for everyone that believes him. So even if you feel you don't have enough, remember the widow who gave her last, everything that she had. It was only two coins, less than 1 cent U.S. today. But when Jesus saw her give all that she had, Jesus said she gave more than everyone else. Because everyone else gave out of what they had, she gave all that she had. And if you give what you have, I'm not trying to manipulate anyone. I just have a testimony and a witness in my spirit, because I have experienced it, that when we give God what we have, because the Lord has need of it, God will bring it back to you. Hallelujah. And so the young generation needs to learn submission. And submission means that we have to recognize what David said in 1 Chronicles 29:14, where he says, but who am I and who are my people that you enable us to give so generously? Everything comes from you. Right there where you are, just raise your head to the heavens and tell God, everything comes from you. And David said, we give you only what has come from your hands. In other words, what we give to God is because he first gave it to us. He's the one who gives us the strength to work. He's the one who opens the opportunities and the means and the ways for you and I to be able to not only sustain ourselves, but share what we have with the body of Christ and with those who are in need. So everything that we have came from him. All we're doing is giving him back what he first gave to us. And as we become disciplined and faithful in being generous, because the Bible says, as you sow, so shall you reap. And so if you give generously, you will sow generously. The Lord will cause us to see the harvest resulting from our sowing. And I just want to end with just a few more words. Speaking of submission, the colt had never been ridden. And so the disciples laid their garments upon the colt. They provided a covering for the colt so that Jesus could sit upon it. And so the position that the crowd would see was Jesus on top and the colt underneath. That's important for us. Number one, leaders provide a covering upon the followers so that Jesus can sit upon them. Our pastors have provided in the last month a covering called the blessed life, because they're preparing us to have the lordship of Christ come upon us. Not only in our praise, but also in our giving. Somebody by Facebook has got to say an amen to that. Hallelujah. Because it's not just our praise and our worship is our verbal affirmation of how we feel about Jesus. But we show it in the life of obedience and the life of sacrifice. And so when the crowd saw Jesus on top and the colt underneath, it shows us what we have to do in order to have the fullness of God's promises and blessing be manifest upon us. Jesus must be on top and we must be underneath. We need him to sit on us. Now, it's interesting that Psalms 22 says that God inhabits the praise of his people. But the Hebrew means that God sits upon the praise of his people. Which means we cannot exercise praise without having the lordship of our God upon us. And so we as believers need to be a light unto this world, showing us that we not only believe in Christ, but he is Lord of our hearts, he's Lord of our minds, he's Lord of our time, and he's Lord of our wallets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all we are and all we have. As long as you and I are in control of our lives, the lordship of Christ cannot be manifest. But when we allowed him to sit upon us, and remember that in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120, it says that it appeared as cloven tongues which sat upon them. We need the lordship of Christ, and we literally need him to sit upon us. Now, as long as you're in control, God can't be glorified. When you release control and allow him to have lordship over you, that's when you see the fullness of his blessing. That's when you see the fullness of heaven be manifest on your behalf. We are supposed to be vessels that exalt and make him known. And that begins when we give up our control and give it to him. Be anxious for nothing. Right now, you may be fearful or anxious or worried or depressed. Whatever you are, give the control of your emotions to God. Trust his word. Trust his faithfulness. Trust in his power. There is nothing that he cannot do. Even coronavirus, it may be over our heads, but it's still under the feet of the master. Hallelujah. And if it's under his feet, he will also place it under the feet of the church. If the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, neither can coronavirus. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand right there through Facebook and say, if the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, neither will coronavirus. And this principle of giving God control and having God be Lord over all that we have is true from the spiritual to the financial. The Lord has need of our giving. We cannot stop giving just because we're in a crisis. It's in the crisis when we give that we see God's miracle power be manifest. It's not because God lacks anything. God is spirit. He does not have need of physical cash. But he wants us to teach us the blessing of giving, a principle he himself practiced. I remind you, God sold his son at the cross. Jesus has said, except a grain of wheat fall on the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And so God sowed his son at the cross and he reaped a church. He gave his all, and if we do the same, we will also reap a great harvest. The Lord has need of what you have. He has need of your heart, your mind, and also your finances. Give it to him. In your hand, it will wither. In his hands, it will grow. I just want to remind you to finish today. The woman who was visited by the prophet Elijah, the last little bit that she had, the prophet said, give it to me. Cook for me. Prepare me a meal. She could have retained it and died, or released it and lived. And I believe that if we release what we have and put it in his hands, listen, all state cannot compare to God. They had that commercial that says, you're in good hands. No, you're in good hands, in the hands of God. Because Jesus says, all that the Father has given me, no one can pluck them out of my hand. Not even coronavirus. Hallelujah. And so, in God's hands, it will be multiplied. In God's hands, it will grow. In God's hands, you will see the harvest. That young boy had 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. He could have retained it and everybody would have gone hungry. He released it and 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, were fed, because once it got into Jesus' hand, he blessed it and multiplied it. So we have a choice to make. We can retain what we have and still go through need, or we can release it into the hands of God and have our needs supplied according to his riches and glory. And I just want to let you know before Pastor comes that the greatest thing you can give God is your soul. Yes, he's Lord of our finances, but he first wants to be Lord of our hearts. If he has our hearts, he'll have our wallets. And so if you have not given your life to Jesus, the greatest thing that you can do right now is surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. He's saying that he has need of you. And you might say, he has need of me, yes. Because the kingdom of God grows as souls come to the kingdom through repentance. And so right where you are, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus has need of you, and he's looking for you, and he's speaking to you right now through this transmission. And he wants you to know that he loves you. He gave his life for you. And that if you in turn give your life to him, he's going to multiply your life in ways you have never seen before. You're going to have a joy that the world cannot give you. You will have a peace that the world cannot give you. And you will have eternal life, something that nobody on this earth has the power to give you, only Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so, Father, right now, oh, hallelujah, I feel the anointing of the Spirit of God. Right now, Lord. Heal right now. Heal right now. Heal right now. Heal right now. Lord, touch that body that is afflicted right now. Touch that body who is in pain right now. That affliction, in the name of Jesus, send your word and be glorified right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, I'm seeing somebody right now who's tuning in who has a strong pain in their lower back, an excruciating pain, but right now the power of God is visiting you right now. In Jesus' mighty name, receive healing right now. We rebuke depression in the name of Jesus. We rebuke anxiety in the name of Jesus. Those conditions that pills cannot resolve, the Holy Spirit right now can take away your fear, your anxiety, your depression by the power of the name of Jesus. Lord, let your salvation flow. Let healing flow. Let deliverance flow. Lord, and let us shine the light of your generosity in this time, that your church would teach the world to keep on giving in the midst of crisis, and it shall be added unto us. We trust you and we glorify you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you.
Reverend Joel, thank you so much. God richly bless you, pouring out your heart to us this morning. What a treat. What a treat we received. The detail that God just opened up, some insight, those spiritual insights in the detail of the Palm Sunday story. What a wonderful revelation. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. while we're in this just anointed atmosphere right now, I feel very strongly there are those who need to say a simple prayer. And if you have been afraid to give God the full control of your life, I'm going to ask you to do something and take a step of faith. Jesus always challenged people to respond to him. If you'll notice, Jesus always invited people to physically follow him. There was something they needed to do to show their shift from depending on themselves to depending on God. And right now, we're going to do that in this prayer right now. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head if you'd like to take a step of faith and give Jesus the center place in your heart and invite him into your life to be the Lord of your life, to acknowledge that you need his help. It's the most important decision, the best decision you'll ever make. I made that decision 53 years ago, and I've never regretted it. So, Father, I pray that you would anoint this prayer right now for those who are watching by Facebook, Lord, and those who are in their homes. Let the Holy Spirit just brood on their hearts even now and give them the grace to repent. Give them the grace to have their spiritual eyes open. Oh, Lord, work in those homes. Let's agree right now, for those of you who are intercessors, just pray with me right now that in the homes of those who are watching and those who will watch later on, that this message and this word will just grip their hearts, God. And so if you're with me this morning, you'd like to say this simple prayer and you want to take a step of faith, just repeat after me where you are. Say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. I want to quit depending on myself for everything and thinking that, in a sense, I'm God. I'm my own God, and I want to acknowledge that you are higher than me. You are greater than me, that, God, you created me for a great purpose, and I've been afraid. I've been independent. I've been unwilling to submit to you, as we heard in the message. God, I want to submit to the Lordship of Christ. Jesus, I recognize that you died for my sins. Whatever mess ups, whatever mistakes, whatever sins, whatever shame that I've had in my life, I want to say that I ask you to wash me and cleanse me and forgive me right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash my heart clean. Make it brand new. By the power of your Holy Spirit, live your life in me, God. I can't be a Christian on my own. I need you to help me to be a Christian. And I ask you to live inside of me from this day forward. Help me to understand the Bible. Help me to open my life up to other Christians and begin to have community with other believers from this day forward. In Jesus' name, I give my life to you, Lord. Live in me. Amen and amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, our phone line,